When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you've been hurt in a car accident or slip and fall, then call the law offices of Seltzer Mayberg at 855-5000-LAW or go to onecalllegal.com. Mention 5 Reasons Sports to get a free consultation. With 24/7 availability, they'll make sure you work directly with an attorney to get you the compensation that you deserve. Once again, 855-5000-LAW. That's Seltzer Mayberg. Let me introduce you to another sponsor, BestEver.com. That is BestEver.com. BestEver.com is a fantasy sports simulator that uses real-life data to simulate hypothetical situations. For example, ever wondered if Dan Marino could win a Super Bowl with a top 10 running game? We all have. You can do that with BestEver.com. Let's say the Dolphins are in the running for a big free agent. Just add him to the current team and simulate games to see how it can turn out. Just open a free account and start building your own story, and have BestEver.com spit out game stories just for you. BestEver is not only fun to use, but has many uses beyond just curiosity. Go to BestEver.com. That's BestEver.com. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Christopher Kaufman is here. And we're going to be talking about wide receivers. But first, as always, we're brought to you by Manscaped. Use 5RSN for 20% off. And of course, Biscayne Bay Brewing. You could get him at Publix, Total Wine, have it delivered to you via Instacart. Visit them at BiscayneBayBrewing.com. All right, Simon, if you asked anybody after last year, what was the problem with this team? Everybody would say, well, you know, the skill guys, skill position guys, you know, they were bad. And if you look deeper into the advanced stats, you could see why. No yak. Nobody got any yards after the catch. Separation was terrible, and if you look at next-gen stats on the NFL website, the worst separation guy was A.J. Green at 1.7 yards. Second guy was Devontae Parker. The third guy was Mike Gesicki, which tells you all you need to know. But if you ask most people, they would say, you know what, they need an upgrade at wide receiver. First of all, do you agree? And are they going to start doing that come the 17th? In free agency, Simon?
I mean, they should, because they need a serious upgrade. I have to say that the more I think about it, the closer we get to the draft, and the more I just work through the receivers in this draft for the draft book, I do not believe that the Dolphins will take either Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith in the first round. I don't think they'll take a receiver at 3 if they stay. They might if they move down. I just think there are too many receivers in this draft. I mean, you look at it. Yeah, Smith, Chase, Waddle, obviously. But then, you know, Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, Terrace Mark. There are so many Yak guys. Rondale Moore, Yak guy. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Just, you know, he's Jarvis Landry. You know, really good player. D. Eskridge. You know, Antonio Brown vibes. Gallons of toughness. Yak monster. Elijah Moore. Exactly the same package as Kadarius Toney, 3 200-plus-yard games in 2020. Amari Rodgers, second biggest Yak guy over the past 4 years behind Devonta Smith. Dyami Brown, I mean, Stephon Diggs with 10.700-meter speed. You know, Tylan, you know, this is like the 10th or 12th. Tylan Wallace, you know, I mean, Tamorian Terry. I mean, if Tamorian Terry could...
Tutu Atwell, Demetric Felton.
You know, Shai Smith, Tutu Atwell. You
pretty
know,
good class, huh?
Nico Collins, Watt Filia is a really good player. So, you know, there's a lot of Yak guys, and I've said it on the pod before, it wouldn't surprise me if they weeded out, you know, Ford gone, Grant gone, you know, Hearns gone. You know, would Preston Williams have played 10 games in 2 years? You know, the upside is there, but, you know, at what point do you kind of worry about, you know, some of the drops, some of the separation quickness or lack thereof? You know, we've got nobody who can make a catch and take the ball down the field. You know, Albert Wilson, maybe, but is Wilson going to come back? You know, nobody knows. You know, so we need guys who can create with the ball in their hands. You know, the quarterback needs help. He needs help in the running game, but he needs help out on the perimeter. He needs help in the slot. He needs guys who can take a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 35. We don't have a lot of chunk plays in this offense, and they need chunk plays in this offense. So whether that comes in free agency, I mean, to me, I think that they will take probably a receiver in round two and a receiver in round three. That's probably what I'd do as we stand here today. Obviously, I reserve the right to change my mind between now and then. But, you know, the receiver class in free agency is fantastic. But again, it goes back to what we talked about in last week's or the earlier show in the week in terms of the replacing the Carvin noise. You know, are Miami really going to spend money on an Allen Robinson who's not a Yak guy, but, you know, a 32-year-old T.Y. Hilton? You know, a Marvin Jones who's 31, a Corey Davis is going to want, you know, some decent coin, you know, and then you go down and you look at the you know, the really big monsters, the Kenny Golladays, you know, the Curtis Samuels, the Chris Godwins, the Juju Smith-Schusters, the Nelson Aguilars, you know, is Miami going to spend that sort of cash? They might. They certainly need help, but I can't see them being involved. You know, if Godwin, Golladay, Smith-Schuster do hit free agency, I can't see them being involved in that. That just doesn't strike me as being in their financial wheelhouse. It might be, but I'd be shocked. I think this receiver class is so good in the draft that I think that's where they'll end up getting the vast majority of the receivers for 2021.
Yeah, I guess you sold me too. I guess, you know, screw this free agent class. But, you know, digging a little bit deeper into this free agent class, there's some guys, and we're going to get into it in a little bit, but what you said is really interesting. I want to get Chris's input here. Do you see it now a little bit more like Simon's way? Like, you know, why mess with this class when there's so much to draft, Chris? Or is there something, or would you like to, you know, buy some veteran help at the position?
The reason you would is whatever they do, okay, whatever they do, I just hope that they have a cohesive vision for how it all fits together. Because they're picking at number 3 overall. And so that means, you know, instead of the draft just handing you what it hands you, you have the choice, right? You have the choices of what you can do. You do have the choice of Devonta Smith if you want him. You have the choice of Ja'Marr Chase if you want him. You have the choice of Kyle Pitts if you want him. And that's somebody, if we're talking about receivers today, I'd like to talk about Kyle Pitts. But so I think that whatever they do, there has to be a vision about it. And, you know, you could go a number of different ways, but it's all path dependent. If you get a Juju Smith-Schuster for the slot, you know, a bigger slot like Juju, and you do it because, you know, he's got a relationship with Tua. You think that the bigger slot would be helpful for Tua. Then there are other things that you've got to do with the offense in order to make that work. And one thing I will mention just real quick is, you know, that's not the rack or the Yak numbers you're talking about. That's not all their fault. Okay. That's it's a Chan Gailey offense. That's not built for run after catch, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And it's a quarterback that isn't, it's a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick that isn't built for run after catch either. You know, he likes to throw those jump balls everywhere. He likes to throw the jump ball to Devontae Parker and likes to throw the jump ball to Mike Gesicki. And that's just the way it ended up being. So, so it's not all their fault. And if you did look at, say, the Cardinals game, which is probably Tua's best game of the year, you know, he did have a full complement of weapons. He did have Preston Williams in the game and it didn't look so bad. You know, it didn't, mm-hmm. He had the other guys, he had Devontae Parker. So, I mean, we'd say, hey, the skill position guys sucked. But there were times when we actually had everybody out there and it didn't look so bad. But anyway, but we do, I agree, we do need to, probably a whole revamp of the unit. I just want it to be cohesive. Like, why would we get T.Y. Hilton? Well, I'll tell you why we would get T.Y. Hilton. He may be 32 years old, but he's a guy, he's still a guy that can take the top off the defense. He's fast. And he's also a guy that is versatile. You know, you can still use him on a bunch of, you can throw screens to him. You can use him on jet sweeps and stuff like that. He's still got that to him, I think, personally. And so that, what does that do? Well, that fits. If you get Kyle Pitts at number three, and so now you're looking at a personnel grouping where you got Pitts and Gesicki on the insides and Parker and somebody else on the outsides. Well, T.Y. Hilton fits that other on the outside really well in that package and gives you the ability to move these guys around and cover all your bases and have the proper, you know, combination of skill and variability in order to make that personnel grouping work. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be about the cohesive vision. It's got to be about, you know, okay, Will Fuller. Well, what can he do? Well, he takes the top off the defense too. Brandon Cooks, are you going to get him? He takes the top off of a defense. You know, that's what it is. If you're going for some of these other guys, Curtis Samuel, not the same player, right? Not the same player. He's fast, sure, but he's a gadget guy kind of still. He's a guy jet sweeps in version, backfield screens, yeah, short passes.
Yeah, he's the Cadillac version of Lynn Bowden is what he is.
Yeah, yeah, basically the Cadillac version of Lynn Bowden. Yeah, basically. And so there's, you know, you can go these different directions and it's okay. I don't mind if you go and get a Curtis Samuel if the reason that you're getting a Curtis Samuel is so that you don't have to use the number 18 on, you know, so-and-so or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure what they're going to get paid. God only knows what these price tags are going to be. I think it is up in the air. But, you know, there's guys out there that we've talked about before. We've talked about, you know, one of Simon's favorites, I think, would be, you know, he's talking about Corey Davis and Josh Reynolds and stuff like that. I've talked about in the past, you know, Keelan Cole as a really shifty slot guy who's a little bit lengthier of a slot guy who could get open and catch some balls and really help us. But the main thing is, man, you gotta get it all to fit together. And that's one thing I will say about the draft is I kind of feel like every year the draft is full of receivers. And there are a lot of receivers in the draft every year that can play. And to the as a testament, Simon named about 50 receivers and he still didn't even name, you know, some of the guys that I like, you know, like, actually you, Simon, you first texted me about this guy, Austin Watkins or, you know, Sage Surratt, guys like that, or Warren Jackson, you know, he's really good. Or Jalen Darden, Northern Texas. You know, we still didn't even get to all those Des. Yeah, Jamon Osmond, Des Fitzpatrick. Yeah. We still didn't even get to all those guys. So, yeah, there is definitely talent in the draft, but there always is talent in the draft. And so I wonder, you know, it doesn't preclude you from going after, to me, a Devonta Smith or Jamar Chase, if that's where you've got them, you know, at the top, because you're going for one of those guys because you're pretty certain about those guys. Whereas, you know, yeah, you take Demetric Felton or Amon-Ra St. Brown, but do you know what you're really going to get? And this is a team that had bad problems at receiver and needs to know what they're getting next year. They need to know that what they're getting next year is better than what they got last year, because if they don't, it's going to be huge.
All right. So let's take these one by one. Okay. I picked out these guys because they fit the profile. I did some digging today, and I added a fourth name. And when I say that name, you guys are going to say,
what? Like you did some digging.
No, some digging, digging. I probably did say
a couple of Legos and did some digging.
No, I haven't done any digging because I've been, I've been married for like 4,000 years. So I don't know what that's about. But anyway,
was there a scat back involved?
No. I would say I wish, but you know. Anyways, I did some digging, and these guys kind of fit the profile, and they also fit the money profile, which is they're not break the bank guys. I'm going to go one by one. I picked out four guys. Do you guys want the names right away, or do you want to go one by one?
Just do let's do a lightning round.
Okay, lightning round.
Just yes or no stuff.
Okay, yes or no stuff. I picked out four names. T.Y. Hilton first fits the profile completely. And I know he's had some knick-knack injuries, but if you look at his games for his career, it's 15, 16, 15, 16, 16, 16, 14, 10, 15. Career 9 yards per target, 8.2 last year. He's probably going to finish his career with about 11 or 12,000 yards receiving, maybe more. Maybe 70, 80 touchdowns. This is a possible Hall of Fame career that he's working on. Bring him home, Simon.
He's just so banged up for me. He just gets nicked up all the time. And, you know, he's also 32. I just don't think he fits the profile of – he fits the profile. I don't think he fits the profile that the Dolphins are looking at in terms of that sort of youth movement. So I think it will be a no from me.
All right, Chris?
Yes, particularly depending on who else they get. If they're going with a Kyle Pitts as a incredibly unique player and opportunity at number three, then yeah, fits perfect.
All right, that would be a huge yes for me. I would take a shot. You know, there was also some, although you know, I don't know. You know, these are internet rumors, but you know. Take him with a grain of salt, but supposedly T.Y. Hilton would be very receptive to coming back down here and is not necessarily willing to break the bank with anybody because I don't think he's the type of guy that can break the bank at this stage of his career. All right, name number two. He would be a yes for me. I like all four guys, by the way, but I have a preference that I guess we'll get to at the end. Name number two is Josh Reynolds, okay? Now, his yards per target are not, you know, career yards per target are not really there. He plays in an offense where, you know, he's not going to get a lot of the best stuff. He's not going to be number one, two, or three in most cases in the progressions. This year, he got a little bit more run. His advanced stats do check out, especially in yak and in separation. He's big. He's physical. Seems to check out, Simon.
Go to Chris first because I think I'm going to sneeze.
All right.
I'm going to go with a no on this one. I'm going to say that, you know, I've always liked the player. I liked him a lot when he came out of college, came out of Texas A&M. And I think he was in an offense that helped his yards after catch. I don't know if that's, you know, kind of who he is. Maybe it is, but you know, it didn't strike me as who he was coming out of college. So I think that you know, he's a big 6 foot 3 inch, 200-pound guy with 4-5-ish speed. You know, I don't know that that's the profile that Miami needs right now. But again, it's going to depend on the overall vision. I think we've got Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, so I'm tempted to say no.
All right, now this guy has secretly been, and he's probably a no for me.
You didn't go to Simon. So because he sneezed, you're not going to go to him?
Oh.
Outrageous.
Yes, that is outrageous. Simon, Josh Reynolds.
I like him. I think he's a consistent player. I suppose the thing is that what does he bring that we don't already have? You know, he's kind of, you know, he's played a lot of snaps. You know, he plays well, as Chris just said, in that sort of 11 personnel dominated scheme that McVay runs. He's safe, he's reliable, but I think we have safe, reliable, you know, I think he's, I was looking the other day, I think he had four or five drops in 160 odd targets over the last 3 years. He's an outstanding run blocker. But, you know, I suppose the question would be, what does he do that is different to anybody else? So I could imagine them looking his direction, but I doubt they'll bring him in.
All right. Yeah, and he would probably be a no for me if I had to stack him up against some of these other names, and especially against this name. This guy has secretly been, which I guess this kind of, this is already strike number one against him because he's been around for a long time. He's been secretly extremely productive for 8 seasons. That's Marvin Jones. And a career 8.7 yards per target, which if I told you who was in that class, it's insane. You're talking Julio Jones. He's secretly, like I said, because nobody talks about him because he plays in Detroit, because Detroit is so bad. He's still productive. He was at 8.5 last year, and he had 9 touchdowns. He's had 9 touchdowns 3 of the last 4 seasons. Marvin Jones, it was earlier in this offseason where it was supposedly, I don't know if it was him or somebody close to him, but everybody was saying, oh, he'd love to come to Miami. Since then, it seems like he would love to go to LA and join Matt Stafford. Simon, this is, I think it would be a home run signing. He does not give you yak, but he does give you separation. He catches the ball and he scores touchdowns. What do you think?
He's also 58 years old. I just don't see it. I just don't think
31, he fits the age 31.
Profile. Yeah, I don't think, not for me. I just can't see it. I don't think he fits the age profile. I think there's other guys that if they're going to target, they would target. And for me, he wouldn't be one of them.
Okay. That's disappointing and for me, really. Chris, Marvin Jones.
You know, he fits the profile of is he fits the profile of all those veterans I talked about that are 30 plus years old that are going to be sitting out there like, you know, like people floating in the water after the Titanic waiting to get rescued.
That's terrible imagery because most of those people died.
Well, horrendous. You know, so be it. So I think that he may find that he's not getting very many phone calls, very many offers, particularly if teams start to say, well, you know, he's just going to follow Matt Stafford. And then the team that has Matt Stafford is like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll get you. And then they give him like a $2.5 million 1 year offer.
Which would drive me insane. Okay. If that happened.
Well, I'm just saying. So you could see that happen with him. And if that does happen with him, you know, yeah, you could see. He reminds me of Brian Hartline, you know, as far as his skill set. I mean, he can get open. He is a good outside, more outside than inside guy, I think. He does not get yards after catch.
No.
He can create separation. He's not the take the top off the guy defense. Some part of me just wonders if that's really what Miami needs to be looking at right now. But again, it's also about who else they got. And you know, if they got Jalen Waddle, you know, somehow out of the draft, then yeah, maybe I might think about Marvin Jones. But you know, I think that right now I'd kind of have to be a no, but also a wait and see because he might be Brock Marion basically, except at the wide receiver position.
All right, he's a yes for me. It's obvious, you know, he's a yes for me, and especially if he's going to be cheap.
Good player.
All right, this last one is, and don't laugh when I say his name, but the year that Devontae Parker was drafted, this guy, a little birdie told me, was a favorite inside of that front office in Davie. And he's been an absolute unmitigated bust for the beginning of his career. But he just turned in this. But he just turned in 2 decent seasons back to back. Okay, this one in Tampa.
Step forwards, Breshad Perriman.
One in New York. And you would think, okay, this is a big hulking wide receiver. Like this guy. No, he is among the best in yak the last 2 seasons in the NFL. And he has a better separation number than any of the guys I just mentioned. He's kind of on a hot streak these last 2 years. He has to be cheap. There's no way anybody's going to give him a lot of money. Simon, Breshad Perriman.
He's a great height, weight, speed guy, isn't he? I mean, he's got all the tools. And I thought he did have a really good season for the Bucs, but actually I didn't think he was very good for the Jets. He dropped 3 passes, but apparently he caught 53.6% of the balls thrown his way, which isn't ideal. I think if he's overcome the drops, then there's a lot to like about his potential, I think, in the right situation. But again, it's a no from me, Alf. Sorry.
Wow. Simon is not buying anything I'm selling. Chris.
Damn. No, you know, actually I would here. And the reason is that, again, people know that I like Devonta Smith for the number three pick. You know, I'm not married to him. You know, I would certainly consider Penei Sewell or the other guy I mentioned before, Kyle Pitts, for the number three pick. And if you take Kyle Pitts at number three, then I do think Brashad Perriman fits very well in terms of being on the outside, being able to, you know, run deep down the field. He's big, tall, fast. And so he's going to be a threat that way, but he's also a bit of, you know, he's also a pretty good run after catch guy. And so you might be able to use him on screens and stuff like that. I mean, I think there's a value and versatility to him that fits with a Kyle Pitts approach. If you were to go after that and I think I could go for that. Definitely.
All right. On the way out here, I guess we can propose our guys, but Simon, is there anybody out there? Because you you're not buying on anybody. I gave you four names. Yeah. Is there anybody on this list?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give you a name of a guy who I really like, and he'll be cheap, and he just is a good kind of under the radar kind of player. And that is Kendrick Bourne of the San Francisco 49ers. I think he is a really interesting player. I'm just looking for his age, but he must be in the 26. Yeah, 25, 26. He's a yak guy. He's got really good hands. I think I read that in every game last season he had at least one 15 yard plus catch. I just think he's really interesting. He'll be cheap. And he's probably not ideally suited for that Kyle Shanahan offense. I think he's probably going to be more suited to a vertical offense, throwing the ball down the field a little bit. And I think he was probably a smaller part of the offense in San Francisco than perhaps he deserved. I just feel like he's a guy that's, you know, his best football might be ahead of him. And like I said, if he lands on a team that has a more sort of conventional offense, I think he's a very interesting, intriguing free agent guy who could show a lot more in a sort of a pass first offense. And you're probably going to get him for what, $6 million a year, $5 million a year. Sign me up to that.
All right, Chris, do you have a guy? Because I just found another one that kind of fits the profile.
He's going to be mid-30s. Des Bryant, is it, Alf? Yeah.
No, Des Bryant does not fit the profile.
He's been dicking pretty deep for these for these other guys. Really? No, I've mentioned guys that you know we get quick hitters of guys that I like clearly that we can sign and I'll be happy with. I made my point really about it has to be pretty cohesive thing. One guy I haven't mentioned at all is Demir Byrd. And so I would, I just want to mention him right now because he's worth mentioning. He's, if we need a guy, we don't have enough speed, right? We don't have enough speed on this offense. We know that. No. In the skill positions, we don't have to take the top off. The only guy that is capable of taking the top off the defense couldn't catch it, you know, and that's Jakeem Grant.
Unfortunately.
Demir Byrd has 4.2 speed. Demir Byrd has 4.2 speed, not 4.3 speed, 4.2 speed. And so I think that's, you know, he's a guy, he's been in the league for a little bit. I think he's 28 years old, something like that, but he doesn't have a lot of wear, wear on the tires, really, so to speak. And so I think Miami could be interested in him. He would fit a role for sure. And he played in New England this last year. I thought he did pretty well. Because of his speed and because of how much you have to respect him, he just, he gets open underneath and you can get him the ball from a lot of different places. So I wouldn't be surprised if Miami took a look at him because he definitely could fit a certain space in the offensive scheme.
Yeah. Now this guy that I like him. I like him a lot. He was actually really good for New England. So yeah, it helps that if we could take somebody, you know, that has that look. He has the look of a guy who might have found, you know, a home, a guy who can build a career somewhere. You know, I'd love to take him away from New England. But yeah, I'm looking at this other guy, and you know, I'm changing my mind the more I look at him, because it could have been just that he had a great year last year in Las Vegas, and that's Nelson Agholor. He's available again.
Mm.
He fits every single profile you could want: yak, you know, separation, yards per target. His numbers are off the, you know, they're off the chain for last year, but could it have just been a 1 year thing with him? A team that was lacking wide receiver talent. And, you know, maybe he was looting in a riot is maybe what he was doing. I don't know. But he fits the profile. Simon, would you buy on Nelson Agholor?
I probably would, actually. And look, let's not pretend he was a bad receiver in Philadelphia, because he wasn't, you know.
He just had a bad reputation, yeah.
Yeah, it's inconsistency and a career of kind of inconsistency. And I suppose he's been good for, what, 3 of his 6 years? And the other 3 were kind of marred by drop passes and disappointing production. I think he was a great slot for the Eagles back in, when did they win the Super Bowl? 2017? 2018?
18.
Yeah, and I thought he was, you know, his career last year in Vegas was a good one, albeit in a different role, because he became, I think, more of a legitimate sort of downfield threat. I think he had career highs in yards and touchdowns and yards per reception. I think he had, just looking at it now, 17.9 yards per catch last season. So can he sustain that success, I suppose? And, you know, that question, I suppose, is better asked of him in a complementary role rather than a feature one. But I would buy Nelson Agholor at, you know, he's coming off a 900-yard, 8-touchdown season. But he still had 9 drops last year, so that's going to, you know, that will frustrate people.
Yeah.
But, you know, what, 2 years, 15 million? You'd have a sniff of that?
Yeah, not 2 years, 15 million, absolutely. Yeah, now a listener asked me to ask about this guy, and I'll answer for the guys here. Philip Dorsett, he's not good at football, guy. That's it.
No.
Yeah, he's not good at football.
Well, there you go.
He was good once. He was good for a few games in the NFL, but that's it. You know, like, that's not a guy that you want to go out and add to your squad and throw the football to. No.
Yeah.
All right. On the way out here, let's talk the expensive guys. I think we can all agree, and we've already done a couple of podcasts. Allen Robinson is a hard no, really expensive, and doesn't do what we want to do. And it's kind of redundant if we have Devontae Parker on the roster. But moving on to more expensive guys, it seems like Sammy Watkins is going to make it to free agency. They're talking about $10 million a year. Now, this is a guy that's always hurt. Simon, he does take the top off of the defense. That's something that Chris was saying we need. Buyer, yes or no?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
Chris, no interest, right?
No, not for me.
All right, moving on. Corey Davis. Now, this one's another interesting one. Some people call him a disappointment. I don't see the disappointment. Those are good numbers that he has. He's also going to be extremely expensive. Is this a guy the Dolphins can go out there and spend some money on? Simon?
I don't think he's, you know, he's a reliable. I think he's kind of slightly above average as a player. He's got great hands. But he's, you know, to me, when he came out of Central, he always looked like a high-volume possession receiver, and I don't think he is anything much more than that. And Dolphins have a lot of that. They have guys who are good at winning contested catches at the catch point, which is what he does. I don't think he's an all-round route runner or dynamic after the catch, which is kind of what the Dolphins need. So I don't think they'll touch him.
Chris?
I don't think they'll go for him. I think they'll look into him because they're going to look at anybody that's like 28 years old or younger, and he's 26. So yeah, they'll look at him that way. But ultimately, I think that Simon hit it. He's a little bit more of what we've already got, as opposed to. And I hate to get stuck on the, like, you know, smaller speedsters. That's all we need to get. But still, I mean, you do have Preston Williams, and you do still have Devontae Parker, and you didn't get a lot of separation. So I'd like to get some separation.
All right, a couple of more names, a couple names left on the list of the expensive guys. Curtis Samuel. Now, he's interesting because if you get Curtis Samuel, you're essentially saying all these gimmick guys that we brought in here, Lynn Bowden, Malcolm Perry, Jakeem Grant, you guys are probably out of a job because this guy's going to take all of those snaps. Simon, Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in him, but again, I just think he's way too – he's just gonna be way out of their price. Yeah, he's just going to be out of their price range, I think. You know, I like what they do with him in Carolina, the way they line him up in different positions. You know, I've seen him carry the ball out of the backfield. He's played in the slot. He's played out wide. He's returned kicks. You know, he is kind of, you know, I thought he had a bit of a rebirth, really, under Matt Rhule and with Joe Brady. But, you know, he'd been talked about quite a bit in trades and they're trying to get rid of him. They obviously shifted him inside the slot. He had one rushing attempt in every game this past season. And you know, he is a kind of Debo, he developed into a bit of a Debo Samuel type, actually. So yeah, I just don't think that the Dolphins can afford, and actually it wouldn't surprise me if they re-signed him. You know, they just, you know, if you're looking to bring in a new quarterback, you don't really want to let your, you know, because otherwise you're just left with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. You kind of to have a really good slot receiver in Curtis Samuel seems like a no-brainer. And yeah, I'm not sold he's going to hit the market, frankly.
All right, Chris.
If he hits the market, Miami could be interested. He's exactly the kind of player that they, you know, I think that Miami wants. Miami's been looking for Curtis Samuel for years, under since Flores got there. Basically, they've drafted different guys. They've, you know, signed different guys. They traded different guys. They've re-signed Jakeem Grant. They've been looking for Curtis Samuel, so why not get Curtis Samuel? That's the conundrum. So so yeah, they could be interested in him. He's a Brooklyn guy, just like Flores. I think that they you know, they might get along. I think their personalities mesh. So I think that yeah, he's definitely a gadget guy, as Simon said, all of that backfield stuff like that, but in addition 4.3 speed. So I think that, yeah, pay attention, keep your eyes on them. And that's all I'll say.
All right. Now, a lot of our listeners would have wanted us to talk about these two guys, but I don't think it's worth wasting our breath. One, because Kenny Golladay will be retained by the Detroit Lions. He's all but locked up. If not, they will tag him. And Chris Godwin, the heavy rumor out there is that if he makes it out there, the Jaguars are willing to make him the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, which kind of throws us off of the scent of Chris Godwin, but would give a pretty nice wide receiver core for Trevor Lawrence. And I don't know, 9 wins is not crazy if he has that receiver core and Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. But we've come full circle. One expensive guy left, Juju Smith-Schuster. It looks like, yes, he'll make it to free agency. Simon, we've talked a lot about him before. It's the moment of truth. We're only 2 weeks away. Do the Dolphins bid on him?
I mean, I would. I love him. You know, he's going to hit free agency having just turned 24 years old. You know, so I'm not sold that anybody really knows what his role is, what his ceiling is. You know, his best season came when he was inside Antonio Brown, when Brown was a kind of the primary threat. He struggled a bit with injury and they moved him back into the slot last season. And he was really good. You know, he's smart. He understands coverage. He's quick. He plays well against press because he's physical. He knows, he understands the dead areas of zones from the slot. I think he's a terrific player and I'd love to sign him. But, you know, can the Dolphins afford what's £65-75 million that he's probably going to get a 4-year contract? I don't know. But I would be all over him like a cheap suit.
All right. That's an endorsement.
Chris? He's got great hands, you know. Reliable.
Oh, I love him as a player. Chris?
Yeah, bigger slot jives well with Tua, I think. And so, you know, you've got other work to do if you get him because you still haven't really improved the speed of the offense that much.
No.
But definitely should be interested, see what the price tag is. I don't know what he's going to get out there. What I do know is everybody's who's so turned off by you know, his antics or his social media accounts or whatever. I mean, it's just, come on. And guys are allowed to have fun with the game. And I think teams mostly just don't give a shit. And plus, he's about to get his first big contract, which is going to have probably language in there that says, you know, consequences if you do certain things. So I think that I'm not worried about that. And he does have a relationship with Tua. You know, they both have a Polynesian background. And I think that he's a guy to watch. Certainly he's a bigger slot. He's very physical. He's got great hands. And that, you know, we had a lot of drops. So, yeah. You know, that's the one thing you mentioned, Nelson Agholor. That's the one thing is I hate to get whipsawed, like, but we did have a lot of drops. We had a lot of hands issues and this last year. And so the team might be a little sick of that. And so they might avoid guys that have that particular issue. But Juju, I think, is a really good player. And about the price tag thing, you know, before Kyle Van Noy, I would have said, you know, hey, they're not going to really do anything in the A market. Now after Kyle Van Noy, it's like, well, they could have gotten maybe one A market player. If they stretched it now after Kyle Van Noy is gone, yeah, they might be looking at like one solid A market player, and we're not sure who that would be. It could be at any position, but Juju would probably fit. So,
yeah, and for those that were saying that, you know, they didn't like all his antics and all that, the game, he made a complete clown of himself before two games. One of them was before the Colts game. He had 9 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. And the other one was before the Cleveland game, 13 catches, 157 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, make a clown of yourself all you want, Juju Smith-Schuster. All right. That's it. There is no more. We will talk to you guys next week, where there should be a lot of news. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.